We're going to be talking about the film Barbicania in a bit, which started all this Barbican business. You're listening to The Robert Elm Show here on BBC London 94.9 FM. And we're talking about the Barbican today, partly because it's the subject of a new film, a documentary called Barbicania, which looks at life in the Barbican, life in every aspect of the Barbican, upstairs, downstairs, below ground, people who live there, people who work there. And the people who've made it, Illa Becker and Louise Lemoine, are here with us now. Welcome both of you to BBC London. I hope I pronounced your names correctly.
Yeah, perfect.
I did my best. So, did you know the Barbican well before you began this project?
Not well, of course, but we knew well the project, the architectural project, the side of the, the picture side of the Barbican.
Right.
But it's true that living inside the Barbican for a month, I think we know it better now.
What interested you about the Barbican in terms of a subject to make a film about it?
It started as a commission by the Barbican Art Gallery. And so we answered this commission saying that we would love to make a film on the Barbican, but as a diary, a personal diary. So we said we can make it if we become a resident. So we lived actually next door in Golden Lane.
Right.
We had a wonderful apartment with a view over the Barbican. So every morning we walk up with the Barbican, our subject in front of our window. And we worked in in the dynamic of a diary. So each day of the month of July, we went out of the apartment with the idea of filming what happened. So it's either an encounter or a situation that we've come across during the day.
Because lots of people think of the Barbican as a place where not very much happens, that it's slightly cut off from the life of the city. Did it feel like a separate place when you were there?
It's interesting because the title we gave to the film, Barbicania, is also the idea of a microcosm, a sort of world in itself,
yeah.
Either for its architecture utopia, but also in the way it works, because it's a city in the city, in the city of London.
And a Barbican is a gate, isn't it? It is like you've gone beyond the gates of this different city, if you like.
Yeah, and it has been built also in the reference of the old fortress, the Barbican. And so it is really much of a sort of a world that is cut out of the rest of the city, but at the same time very much connected because the art centre brings so much life and dynamics in the estate. And so the idea was to live very intensively the Barbican, as we never went out of the Barbican fences.
Really? So you literally stayed in there for the whole time?
Absolutely. 31 days, really, in sort of architectural immersion.
What were the people who... Did you talk to many of the people who lived there and have lived there for a long time?
Yeah, we met like 60 persons and made interviews from early morning in the day to the end of the night. And we met a lot of different typologies of person. The one that the early Barbicanese lived there for 40 years.
Yeah, one of my best friends has lived there, moved into the building when it first opened and has been there ever since.
Yeah, it's very interesting because you have the person who talk about the early ages of the Barbican. They even remember when the art centre was not built and was still a building site. And you have the ones that moved recently with family.
I was going to say, are there many families there? Are there many children?
More and more, yeah. It's a growing community. And you have two childcare centres and the gardens are filled with children. It's very interesting because socially and culturally it evolves a lot and you have more and more so.
Because we spoke to a man called Maxwell Hutchinson who's an architect and used to live in the Barbican, but he lived there 25 years ago. And he says there wasn't very much sense of community then. It felt like a rather anonymous place when he lived there. Would you say that's still true or not?
No.
Yeah, it's interesting because we are very interested about how this sort of architectural utopia can create a sort of community. So it was one of the best things that we want to see. But I think there's an idea of community. The people that live in the Barbican, they think that they belong to a community, but in fact there's not much relationship between
not them. Much interaction.
That's
perhaps.
Not much interaction, but they are some of the people that are living in Barbican, so they're very proud. So very proud to live in a very beautiful place. They in beautiful in architectural meaning. So yeah. I study architecture. So it was one of the best brutalist project.
Is it considered internationally to be brutalist
sure.
building?
It's it's a very important project because of the scale, because of the scale and because of the utopia, because it's a project that wanted to change the life of the people that live inside. So this was very, very important. All the project that building an utopia is very interesting for that. But it was very interesting to understand if there are a way of living inside that is different.
And do you think it is different to live in the Barbican than to live in just outside of it, do you think?
We've discussed a lot with the residents of if they're... for instance, we discovered that you have a sort of hierarchy if you live in a tower of a low block, and where in the tower you are on the low floors or the highest floors.
So the higher you are is more hierarchical, it's higher, it's better.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is that because the views are better, do you think, and you get more sense of space?
Of course, but also you are a bit cut out of the life of the city. So the higher you go, the more isolated you are, certainly.
And that's something interesting, that because all the residents live in the Barbican, they have you can see it in our film, they have a key, a special key that they call a magic key. And this key that allows you to go everywhere in the Barbican, so all the public spaces. Only the Barbican people have this magic key, so it's something very symbolic. So
of the city almost, isn't it?
Yes, it's a kind of key of the city, of the city of Barbicania.
What about the people who come in there to work? Because there are people who arrive there every day to work in the various parts. Do they feel part of it, or are they separate from it, do you think?
I think the art centre is in itself a little world in the Barbican, and it's impressive how many activities you have at the same time, because it's the biggest or one of the biggest art centre in Europe. And you have either the world of the theatre, the concert hall, the gallery, and then we also entered in the other activities such as the library, etc. And so it's impressive how much it's like a I don't know the English term, you know, where the ants are living, their construction. Yeah. And it's impressive.
It's like a nest, an ant's nest, or a hive of bees. And one of my listeners has just tweeted, and he says, I've lived in and around the Barbican for 8 years, and it's the perfect machine for living, which I think is a very nice way to put it, because it does feel like that, doesn't it? It's a machine which kind of functions, and you play a part in the functioning of that machine if you live there, really.
Absolutely, but in each machine there is also a certain poetic aspect of it, and in the film we try to catch these poetic moments either through testimonies with the residents or even in a poetic situation we could catch.
Were there many people who said they didn't like it?
I think it's not a matter of aesthetic, but also a sense of being part of an identity, a collective identity. So I think most of the people we met were very proud and felt very strongly part of.
I think the people living inside, they like the building, they like the architecture, because it's a very, it's like a human that is not very beautiful to see it for the first time. But when you know this person, and you try to understand how is his life, and if you became
very attached
to him.
I also think it's a building which has got better. I think it's a lot of buildings decay with age. I think the Barbican has improved with age. I think people can navigate around it better now. I think it feels more integrated. You don't feel as isolated from different parts of it. It's kind of worked a way out to integrate people into it, if you like.
but also in terms of architectural renown. Maybe the Barbican, the way we consider the Barbican today globally is much more respectful. I think it's
more positive.
Yeah, much more positive.
Are we beyond the time of architecture as a kind of utopian idea? We seem to have given up on that, what I think was a very beautiful idea, that you can make people's lives better with buildings. I was going to say, we wouldn't build the Barbican now. We would build luxury flats, as we would call them, that cost an awful lot of money and only very rich people would be able to live in them. And you probably wouldn't have any social housing and you probably wouldn't have art galleries and museum spaces. You'd just try and maximise the profit. We wouldn't do that anymore, would we?
It's interesting because we just finished a shooting last week in Denmark and working as a similar way we did at the Barbican, but in a housing project built by a young Danish architect named Bjarke Ingels, and the project named 8 House is quite interesting on the way he want also to improve the social relation. It's not a social housing building, but the way he conceived the way the apartments are linked all together proposes a certain a social model, very interesting, because all the residents have created a real sense of community linked with solidarity, etc.
It's an interesting, I've had another view here though by one of my listeners, Aidan, who says, for me the podium level is a bleak windswept expanse with poor signage, nowhere to shelter. It's like walking into a scene from a deserted earth where everyone has died. The occasional piece of litter blows past the gate. Getting access to and instructions around the Barbican Centre is a nightmare. Nothing is logical or symmetrical. It's not signed properly. If you're going to any performance at the centre and arrive at the Barbican station, allow at least an hour to try and find your way through the windswept brick desert. He hates it.
But we had maybe the chance to shoot the film in July and not in November.
Right.
So we had a very shiny and sunny...
Yeah, that maybe it's true. I don't know, but in the same time, it's a sort of experience not to go there. So it's something very that's incredible to go there, no? So,
oh, I agree. I mean, I love the Barbican, but I can
I
see why some
positive,
people don't.
Negative, but... Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's an experience.
It's an experience, of that there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Because there were many stories of people, you know, who'd spent years trying to get out of a concert. They'd gone there and just never managed to find the way out.
But what we're interested in is to make films about architecture that can change the way you relate yourself to space. And it's true that the Barbican, not only the center, but all the estate is very challenging because it changes a lot your perception of space and the relation to the street also, etc. But it's true that maybe in this utopia, the idea of separating the street level to the podium level doesn't give so much a sense of life, urban life.
No, it doesn't. You are cut off from the extraordinary urban life of London, which is a very full and loud and vivid and visceral. It's very different when you're in the Barbican, isn't it?
Of course, but regarding an estate, it's maybe even better to live in a silent environment in the middle of the city. That makes it even maybe more unique for the residents, whereas they could have been in a very noisy place. So.
Where can people see the film?
Tonight.
At the Barbican?
At the Barbican Cinema. And I think there are 2 more screenings on the 1st and November 2nd.
Yeah,
and I think there are a few tickets left. So,
not for tonight.
I think tonight's sold out, but hopefully for the other viewings, there are still some tickets left. And that's Barbicania, which is on tonight, as we say, at the Barbican Centre, and then other showings as well. And it's directed by Ila Becker and Louise Lemoine. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.